Jonah chapter 1 this morning, thank you. The last time I spoke, we had a bit of an introduction to the book of Jonah and looked at the first few verses, so we'll just do a bit of a continuation on this morning. So if you found yourselves at Jonah chapter 1, up until this point, what we have done so far is we'd looked at a bit of an introduction to the book, looked a bit about Jonah himself, and saw the fact that Jonah was called to speak to a certain group of people. Jonah had a call from God to go and to speak against the Ninevites, to go and preach the gospel to the Ninevites. But we see that Jonah, kind of like herself sometimes, he heard a message from God and he did listen, but he didn't obey. He had a better plan. He didn't want to do what he was getting asked to do. So instead of going in one direction, Jonah done a 180 turn and went in the opposite direction. And in my own life, I kind of think, well, yeah, that's kind of me at times as well. But what we can look at as well, we can look at Jonah and think, oh, what a bad man, we would never do that, oh, that's disgraceful. But when we actually looked at what he was being asked to do, the Ninevites, this kind of superpower at the time, really terrible, evil, violent nation. And we looked at that the last time, some of the things that the kind of Assyrians in this nation would do to people, that we can understand that he didn't quite want to go there. It was a kind of call to go to ease martyrdom in some aspect. So he took to his heels and he went down to the port of Joppa and he got on a ship, paid the fare and he sailed down into the bottoms of the ship. And what we've seen was that obviously something else happened at that point as well. This kind of big storm, this kind of tempest rose up on the sea. And what we kind of looked at the last time was, you know, how far does God let us go in the opposite direction from the call that he's given us? How far is too far? How far will God let us go down the wrong path? But what we see from the book of Jonah is God lets us go thus far, but then he puts an end to it and he draws us back to himself through any manner and means that he's going to use. And we see in the account of Jonah the manner that he is going to use, and we're going to look at that today and in future studies as well. But what we see is God acts, and the way that God acts is out of love. We see this kind of big storm coming up, and it's not a storm to drown and to kill Jonah, but it's a storm to bring out a circumstance to change Jonah's heart and to turn him back to the correct path. So Jonah was in rebellion, and God could have said, right, you're rebelling against me, stuff you and cut him off. Is that the character of God? And obviously we know it's not, that God gives us the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance. He keeps on calling us back because he loves us and he wants us to be back in union with him. So God had a plan for Jonah, and God wasn't giving up on his plan for Jonah either, even if Jonah wasn't quite realising it at this moment in time. And in our lives, does God have a plan for us? Of course he does. And if we are running away from the plan that God has for us, he's going to chase after you. And we might find ourselves in a circumstance that's not too pleasant, but God's got a plan for it, and it's for our good as well, and he won't give up on us. He'll not leave us and he'll not forsake us, and that's just that scripture I want to have in your head this morning. So in God's care and God's love, he didn't allow Jonah to get too far from him. He brought about a circumstance to stop Jonah continuing to run. The intervention of God kicks in at verse 4, and it says, the Lord sent out a great wind in the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. If we think of Jesus and all the accounts that we have in the Gospels, we think about Jesus calming the waters, the storms, and Jesus speaking in the waters still. That kind of supernatural power of God, it just puts everything to that still calmness there. And that's fantastic. But we also see that God can stir up the waters and bring about a storm when he wishes as well. And if we think about it, Jonah's on this ship. He went down to the port, paid his fare on the ship. He's on this ship with lots and lots of seasoned sailors. They're not just people that have just kind of, oh, I'll sail this ship today. I've never done it before. It was their livelihood. They knew their ship. They knew the sea. They were experts at what they did. But when they were on this boat, they sensed that this storm wasn't just your normal, typical storm. It wasn't a normal thing they would see in the environment there. They knew it was a supernatural thing. And the sailors knew they weren't in a dangerous place as well. And it says here, the ship was about to be broken up. They were panicked. They were fearful. The sailors knew that their lives were in danger here as well. And why were they put in that situation? Why was Jonah put into that situation? Why were they put into that situation? It was because Jonah had rebelled, that God had to bring this circumstance into play. And verse 5 tells us, the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God, and threw the cargo that was part of the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. I want to think about the last time you've maybe been in Hollywood. You're on your plane, flying, obviously. That's what you do in a plane. And there's turbulence. You're a bit fearful yourself. What's the first thing you do after you've done the kind of panic yourself? You start looking about, don't you? You look about other people's faces. Am I overreacting here? What do they look like? Who's the people you really want to make eye contact with to see how they're reacting? It's your flight crew, isn't it? The people that fly all the time back and forth. If you look about in other passengers, there's a few that are a bit scared, then you think, all right, okay, maybe I'm not overreacting. You look at the flight crew and they're calm and professional, it calms you down. But just imagine you're looking at the flight crew and they're sweating buckets and you can see they're panicking about, running about and sitting down, getting their seatbelts on. How do you feel then? You've got every right to be panicked. What we see in this account here, these are kind of seasoned sailors. Your Captain Jack Sparrows, they know how to do what they're doing. They are terrified. They know that this is kind of a God-ordained storm here. They were experts. They knew it wasn't normal. And they believed that their lives were in danger. And I want you to see a wee kind of insight here. When they thought their lives were in danger, they'd done two things that everyone does. They prayed. They were pagans, they were Phoenicians, they didn't have a belief in the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, their covenant God. They had multiple gods, gods they hear, they live in the sea, the wind, the bulls, anything they could make a god out of. But they prayed to their gods. Kind of like today, when people are faced with death or a really difficult circumstance, no matter if they've never been to church or never considered religion before, they still, oh God, help me. They just pray out to this unknown God out there somewhere. And we see that that's what these sailors do. But we also see that they see a shift in the values that they have in their lives as well. If you live your life today, you're building up your bank account and getting bigger houses and buying businesses and buying properties and things like that. When you're faced with death, you realise, it's nothing. You know, my life's going to come to an end. All these things are worth nothing. Faced with their death, these sailors, what they're doing, they start to pray out to these unknown gods. They also start to chuck everything that's of value to them off the ship. All their cargo, their treasure, their ho-ho and a bottle of rum, you know, all that stuff's getting toughed off their ship. Their livelihood, basically, to save their own lives. All these material things that they don't need, that really have no eternal value, they start chucking off the ship. And that's what we see in the world today. When we're faced with difficult times, people that don't have a faith in God, they still want to pray out to someone, and they realise that the material things are nothing. And we need to be the types of people that show them what's of eternal value. Believe in the one true God that can really help you in a storm, and don't store up your riches and your things that have got no eternal value. Store up your riches in heaven, and you've got eternal value in them. So faced with death, priorities change, and we see that with the sailors here. But like the sailors, they're praying out to all these gods that hear there and everywhere. It's not working. Is the storm stopping? No. It's raging on round about them here. And the sailors, they're needing this divine help from the one true God, the only God that can help them. Does Jonah know that God? Aye, he does. Where's Jonah when people are needing him? He's found his way onto the ship. And he's went down into the belly of the ship and he is hiding away. He's asleep, he's unobtainable, he's not within easy access to the people that really need him. But he can point them to the God that can really help. And we ask ourselves the question, is that us as well? No, we are born again by the Spirit. We've got the Holy Spirit living within us. We've got a connection with the one true God. But sometimes as there's storms raging on in friends' lives, families' lives, people in our work, even just people we're acquaintances with, and we go, and we just sink down and we let the storm rage on, and we can be a means of help, but we ignore them, we hide ourselves away. And obviously we shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't be the sleeping Christians that are quite happy just to be in a wee insular bubble when a whole storm is going on round about us. At the end of the day, we should be the types of people that help people in their storm. We can point them to where they can find an anchor in their storm. If we think about God, God provides an anchor in the storm so that people are not going to get washed away. If we've got that anchor in our lives, and we sing the songs and we know the scripture in the Hebrews, but do we live it out and do we share that with other people? Waves batter us. Nobody's saying, as a believer, you're not going to get a hard time, you're not going to have a storm. You're going to get battered, you're going to get bruised, but we can still remain firm on the rock that doesn't move. Do we share that with other people? Jonah, what was his job? He was a prophet of God, a man that was supposed to constantly speak God's message to people. And where do we see him now? When he should be speaking, when he should be sharing, when he should be looking to God to say, listen, I know I'm running away from you. I know this is my fault. God, help us, get us out of this. He should be doing that just now. But he's hiding himself away. We shouldn't be like that. And Jonah's got himself into that situation. When we run away from God, we run away from God. What's the thing we want to do after that point? We run away from God and God speaks to us. What do? Like Jonah, we hide. We know we've done wrong. Instead of saying to God, I'm sorry, forgive me, wipe the slate clean, set me up again, and I'll do what you're wanting me to do. Instead, we turn our face and we hide, just like Jonah's doing here. And we see that's not right. But storms, difficult times, hard times, they're tools that God can use to his glory. He uses all things for his good purposes. And that's a hard concept for us to get in our minds sometimes. You know, we see the situations and the circumstances and sometimes the illnesses in people's life and we think, why me? Why them? Why us? And all those questions go through our mind and we really can't make any sense of it. But it's often not about right or wrong, what we've done and what we haven't done as well. That can come into play and we see that in Jonah's life here, but sometimes the circumstances in our lives are just part of a larger purpose. And we don't see the end goal, but God does. And God knows what he's doing in our lives. If we look at, you've got John chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. We've got the account of the blind man. And Jesus heals the blind man in John 9, 1 to 3. And Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but by the works of God, that God should be revealed in him. Was it the man's fault? Was it the parents' fault? But he was in a storm, a difficult circumstance that God brought him out of. And we see there was a storm in his life, and there was a storm in his parents' life, giving birth, and your son's blind. You would even think about the personal emotions and feelings if that was, if you were the parents of that wee boy. But it was nobody's fault. God had brought that circumstance into play to show his glory. That was the outcome, to show his glory. And he did that. And we see that deliverance from storms, deliverance from hard times, what does it do? It shows God's power. It shows God's work. It shows God's glory, his mercy, his power, all these different attributes to God that we can chip off our tongue. But during the circumstance, it's hard. And you're quite right to kind of, if you're in a hard time, decide to go to God. God, this is hard. But we still stick to God. We look to God and we pray to God for guidance and strength through the circumstance, having the hope that it'll get us to the outcome that he wants, that it's for a greater purpose. But one of the things we need to consider is that storms in our lives are there for a purpose. You know, if we go through a storm in a hard time, there's going to be something that's going to come out of that for us as well. Just like Jonah here. Hebrews 12:11 tells us, it says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. So if you've been chastised by God, but put through a difficult circumstance, he's saying, yeah, say it's painful. See, you're not enjoying it. That is fine. But let's look at the next part of the verse in Hebrews 12:11. It says, nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. So the result after a storm is really what we're looking for. If we're going through a difficult time, it might be painful, but afterwards, if we allow ourselves to be trained by it, if we listen to God through it, if we stick to God and try and see God's hand through the circumstance, we're trained in righteousness because of the experience that we have had. So there's a result afterwards that hones us, that strengthens us, and they refine us as well. They refine us as believers. We've also got the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 7, and it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, having been more precious than gold that perishes, though tested by a fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." I'll say that again because I mumbled my way through that. Trials grieve us, is what it's saying there. But by your faith shows how precious it is. Is it gold that's refined in the fire, or is it the dross that's burned away? Difficult circumstances show us where we are in our walk with God. It allows us to identify strengths and weaknesses. If it identifies weaknesses, what are we going to do with them? We give them to God and we allow him to build upon the foundation that we have, to build the stronger foundations and the building upon that ground that we have in our lives. If we think about it, you know, I said these sailors here, they're professionals. It was their day job. They knew what they were doing. How did they know what they were doing? Because they'd done it all the time. The choppy seas, the calm seas, the difficult times, the maybe rocks that they had to avoid, other ships that came and attacked them in the past, winds, tidal waves, who knows? I don't know what the weather systems were like back then, but they would have seen it all. If there was anything in that water that they had to experience, they would have experienced it. And that's what gave them the confidence that they knew what they were doing. If we think about it, a smooth sea doesn't make a good sailor. What makes a good sailor is a choppy sea, because they know how to navigate the storm that comes against them. They can steer their way through the hard times and the wind and the waves and all the difficult things that come against them. Hard times, storms train us. They give us strength, they give us experience, and they give us confidence. We might not enjoy it when we're going through it, but afterwards, we've been trained by the circumstance. Our skills are developed. Our faith in God is rewarded to a degree, and we gain more confidence in who God is and what God can do. And if we come across a difficult time in the future, we're more equipped to be able to deal with it. And if somebody else is going through a storm, we can give them the godly advice because we have personally experienced it and seen God's hand upon us. So the question is this morning, how strong is your anchor and how good are you at sailing in choppy seas? Are you Jonah? Are you going to hide down in the belly of the ship and hide yourself away and pretend it's not happening? Or can you look to God and be that seasoned sailor, knowing that God's hand is on you and you've got the skills and the expertise to get through the other end of it? As I was looking at this, you know, you often get sidetracked when you're prepping for things, so I was looking at Captain Jack Sparrow and all the kind of things, and I thought a pirate name might help. So my pirate name is Squid Lips Chum Bucket. So if you want to know what your pirate name is, let me know and I'll tell you at the end. Just to help in your spiritual walk and things like that as well, obviously. So in verse 6 it says, "So the captain came to him and said, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish.'" So Jonah is asleep in the middle of the storm. David Guzik, who we had speaking at our conference, he said this about this account. He's saying that the storm inside of Jonah is bigger than the storm outside, which I thought was really quite good. He knows he's running away from God, and he maybe even doesn't even realise what's going on outside in the sea and with the ship, because the inner turmoil is so much, because he knows he's going against God's will. And I thought that's quite a good way to look at it there, because at the end of the day, he's a prophet called to speak God's word to people, and he's hiding himself away. So Jonah is kind of in the bottom of the ship, sulking, hiding his face for God. And upstairs on the deck, we've got these sailors calling out to all their false gods, all the gods that they can think of. And eventually what happens? We're missing somebody here. There's somebody here not calling in their gods. Maybe we've missed a god out, you know. Maybe we've missed the one that's causing this storm, because we know this isn't normal. A god is causing this. I wonder which god it is. And they kind of come looking for Jonah. So one man is on board in relationship with the true God, and he's hiding himself away. He was asleep. And what happens? Step in the pagan sailor. He's saying, "Arise and call upon your God." Jonah, the prophet, is ending up getting rebuked by the pagan. We see, we just can't comprehend that. But then again, sometimes we'll look at in our lives, we might get the comment, "You? You're a Christian?" And you think, oh my goodness, I. That our witness doesn't live up to what we are professing. We had a wee discussion at our last home group, you know, if you need to tell people you're a believer, then you're maybe not living your life right. And that's quite a stinging thought, you know. A couple of times I've told people at my work, yeah, I'm a born again Christian, you can see the look in their face. All right, you think so, pal? And we're laughing, but it does sting you at the time. And I wonder how much this would sting Jonah here and then, that this pagan's having to tell him, "Jonah, arise, call upon your God." The captain was calling his gods, the crew were calling upon their gods, and as I said, nothing was happening. So they were trying to get to the bottom of what was happening in this situation. Why is God so angry with our ship here? So I like this verse out of the Amplified Bible, and it's Psalm 135:18. It says, "Those who make idols are like them," and it's in brackets, "absolutely worthless, spiritually blind, deaf and powerless. So is everyone who trusts in and relies on them." And that's what we see playing out here. The crew and the captain are calling upon their false gods, and they're absolutely worthless, they're blind, deaf and powerless. No matter how much they call, the storm's getting worse. It's still raging on. Their gods are powerless. But Jonah's God, is he powerless? No. Jonah's God is the one that can calm the seas, but he's also the one that's bringing about this massive tempest here as well. And in some measure, we see that the sailors know that there's something wrong here. They've called upon all their gods and they're doing nothing. I wonder in their minds if they're thinking, oh, maybe we've got it a wee bit wrong here. When we speak to people in our lives, if they're involved in some kind of cult or some alternative spiritual practice, and things still aren't working out in their lives, if they're still not finding any peace in the middle of their storms, I wonder if they think, oh, you, my neighbour, or you, my work colleague, who's got a faith in Jesus, we see that you're confident, we see that you're able to stand in life when bad things come against you. I wonder if I've got it wrong. And that's hopefully the witness that we should give to other people. So perhaps Jonah's God could do something in this crisis here. "Arise, Jonah, call upon your God." This is an opportunity for Jonah to share his faith with them. Likewise, we might have that same opportunity to share our faith with other people as well. It's quite ironic that Jonah's having to get kind of cajoled into doing this. He thought he was escaping God, yeah? Can we ever escape God? God sees everywhere, he hears everything. Even though Jonah hid himself down the bottom of the ship, this pagan came and got him out and had him declare who he was and who he had faith in as well. And we see that God's hand is upon Jonah and God's hand is upon us, no matter the circumstance which we go through. Even if we hide ourselves away from God, God knows where we are, and if God wants us, he can call upon even the most unbelieving person to come and yank us out of our pit. God can use all people. And here we see that this sailor has got more faith than Jonah. This sailor knows there's a supernatural storm going on, and he knows that the answer to get the storm to calm down has to be supernatural as well. He knows that there's a supernatural aspect, a God needs to be called on. Jonah likewise, he is down the bottom of the ship sleeping. Jonah's unaware of the danger, unwilling to do anything, whereas the pagans wanting to do something and knowing there's a problem. We see again the kind of topsy-turvy situation that we have here. And what we see is, don't wait until you're challenged. Don't wait until somebody says to you, "You believer, could you pray for me?" Because that's really what we've got here. We should be the types of people to say, "Oh, you're going through a hard time, you've got an illness, or go through a bad circumstance. Would it be okay if I prayed to God for you?" We should be the ones to offer without having to be asked. Again, we see the kind of difference there. And sometimes somebody will challenge us. And sometimes that can be a good thing as well, because it's the kick up the backside that we need to actually go, I'm not quite living out the faith that I should have here. So Jonah's jolted into the spotlight here. The spotlight's on him, and he has to confess to who he is and what his job is. Verse 7 says, "And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?'" So the sailors know this is a spiritual problem. They know they didn't answer from a god. And they find Jonah because Jonah's been hiding away. Everyone else has been trying to do something about the situation other than Jonah. They want to know who's to blame, and they're putting Jonah under the spotlight here. And we see they've done this kind of casting lots. So casting lots, they're kind of rolling the dice to see who the dice fell on, to see whose blame it was. I just want to bring in a proverb here. It's Proverbs 16:33. It says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." Right through the book of Jonah, we see that God's hand is upon the full situation. If you're rolling dice, if you're casting lots, if you're reading cards, no matter what the situation was, God would make it point to Jonah, because that's God's plan. He's wanting Jonah to stand up and to own who he is and what the job he has to do is, make it known to other people. So the lot fell on Jonah. What did Jonah have to do? He had to stand up and say, I'm a Hebrew, I follow the God, the Jews, the one true God, the kind of covenant God of my people here. We see that Jonah had managed to get on the ship, pay his fare, hide in the bottom of the ship, and he hadn't told people who he was, where he was coming from, what his occupation was, what his calling from God was. He'd hidden that from everyone. And what did we see? God didn't allow it to be hidden. God was going to bring it into the spotlight. Jonah thought he could hide, and he could hide his face to God, and God says, "You're no one, pal. I'm going to make sure that people know who you are and what your calling is." And now in our lives, we take Jonah as an example of how not to be. We shouldn't hide the God that we serve, the God we believe in, the faith that we have. We should make it known to other people and not be forced into the situation where we go, I'm a Christian. We should be willing to tell people up front. And we see Jonah, he's not up front with it. He's hiding it away here. Jesus had died in public for us. We should live in public for him. There's no fleeing from God. And we see that in Psalm 139, 7-10. You know, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? God's everywhere. We can't do it. We can't flee from him at all. And what we see shortly coming up is, even in the most uncomfortable, even the most stinking, dark, depressive situation that we can find ourselves in, God is still there. And that's the comfort and the strength that we need to hold on to. So at this point, Jonah comes clean to a degree and tells him who he worships. Verse 9 says, "So he said to them, 'I'm a Hebrew, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.'" So you can run and hide and run and hide, but at some point, we're going to have to crawl out of the rock that we crawl under and tell people who we are and the God that we serve. Jonah wasn't a pagan. He wasn't a pagan like the sailors, and now he was forced to tell them that that was indeed the fact. He was forced to tell them the God that he served. So, what do we do in our lives? Do we tell people the same? Do we tell them the God that we serve, or do we hide away? Jonah had to live a life that was pointing in the opposite direction from the pagan sailors. He was to point them in an opposite direction, not to the gods of the waves or the wind or anything else. He had to point them to the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. And that's quite an important thing here. These pagans, they served anything. If it was a wind that caused them a problem, they would pray to the God of the wind. If it was the waves, they would pray to the God of the waves. Jonah here is saying, his God made the sea and the dry land. He's the God that called everything into creation. And it's quite ironic here that Jonah knows that, yet he's the one who isn't facing that fact. He's not facing the fact that his God's the one that can bring them out of the situation. And in verse 10 it says, "Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them." So Jonah at least came to the point where he owned his failures. He came clean. He confessed to who he was, even though his hand was forced to a degree. But what we see is that Jonah isn't on this kind of sinking ship alone. He's God's prophet. He was called to speak God's word and eventually bring a blessing to people. Call them to repent, and if they repented, then God's blessing would be upon them. But instead, what we see here is he's bringing a judgment upon people because he's not calling, living up to his calling. He's bringing a judgment against the sailors and those that are on the ship here. They're suffering the consequences for his actions. And we can apply that to ourselves to a degree as well. How do we sin? What do we do in our lives that bring a consequence out on other people? Sometimes we think, you know, I can sin, it's me personally, and nobody else is going to get affected. But that's wrong. If we make bad decisions, then those round about us can be affected by that as well. Take it to extremes. If you've got a drink problem. A drink problem, the alcoholic, okay, doesn't just affect him, it affects his family, his work, all those people round about him, brings about a great depression in somebody's life. If you've got an anger management issue, how does that affect your family? How does that affect your ability to go about your job when you're biting people's heads off and going in a rager and things? But even in small tasks, if God calls you to do something small and you don't do it, he's calling you to do it because he's wanting an outcome. There's somebody he's wanting you to help and encourage. And if you don't do it, then there's an outcome to that. You're not fulfilling what he's asked you to do. We see that sin can be a leaven. A little bit in the lump can leaven the whole lump. We need to be careful that we are not bringing sin into a situation and we are not having a negative effect on other people. We need to protect ourselves from that and we need to protect other people from that as well. But Jonah, he had this divine task and his choices had an impact on the sailors on that ship in the here and now. But also fast forward, he had a job to do. He had to tell the people of Nineveh that they had to repent because they were living their life totally against God. If he's not going to do that, then who's going to tell the people of Nineveh that they need to repent? He's got a task to do and God's entrusting that task to him. There was a multitude of people that had to hear the message about God and about their sin and about repentance. So his sin was going to have an effect on the Ninevites as well because they weren't going to hear the message from God. So verse 11 says, "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea might be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous.' And he said to them, 'Pick me up, throw me in the sea, and the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. Do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.' So they picked up Jonah, threw him in the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and took vows." So the more that the sailors hear from Jonah, Jonah's telling them, "I'm a Hebrew, I do this," kind of explaining to them who he is. The more the sailors hear, the worse the situation gets. The more Jonah speaks, the sea is getting more tempestuous, the situation getting worse round about them. But Jonah eventually says, "It's because of me. I'm your man, I'm the one that's causing this situation." So he owns up and he says, "Pick me up, throw me into the sea." And we can wonder, no, why is he saying that? We maybe get two options. Perhaps he's finally got to the point where he's got a bit of compassion in his life. Remember, why does he not want to go and speak to the Ninevites? Because they're an evil lot. I don't like them. I'm not wanting to go and speak to them. No, salvation's no for them. I'm not happy with that, God. But maybe here he's having a bit of compassion for the sailors. You know, I'm bringing this situation about, and it's nothing to do with the sailors. I'm bringing this about, and it's causing you harm. I'm going to give myself up. I'm going to get myself chucked into the sea because I know God will calm the storm then because it's my fault. So maybe we see he's having a bit of compassion for other people and that's what he was lacking in his life. So that's one option. Or maybe he's still saying, "Right, God, aye, there's a storm. You want me to go to Nineveh? Stuff that. Chuck me in the sea and I will rather die than go and tell people in Nineveh." And I don't know which way to steer you, because we could really steer down either direction, because when we go through the book of Jonah, we see that his heart does change. He repents a bit, but he's still a bit of a stubborn man. He's still not happy about doing God's work. So we can maybe think, ponder that in your own spirits, in your own minds, and see what you think yourself. We don't actually know what the answer is. But sometimes, even when we fail, even if our hearts are not 100% in it, God can still work through us. If God's got a task to do, he can still work through us, even if we're not being 100% obedient. Obviously, we should be obedient, but he can still work through us, because God's God. He's got power to do all things. But Jonah would have to face the consequences of his decisions. And sometimes it does take a Jonah experience for us to change. Sometimes it takes a big circumstance in our life for us to actually change our hearts, because we can be extremely stubborn as well, just like Jonah. And sometimes we need to get off the boat as well. Sometimes when we're on the boat, all this stuff's going on round about us. That's all we can think about or see or do. Sometimes it takes that experience to get away from a situation for us to actually get a better grip of what's going on. And we look at it, you know, did Jonah say, I will jump overboard? No, he says, you can throw me overboard. It might be my fault, but I still need you to help me in some way. If we go back, he's got compassion for the sailors and he's saying, throw me in. I'll take the hit here. He's still saying, I can't quite do it in my own strength. I need you to help me. Throw me in. Sometimes you can think about family situations as well. There's maybe somebody in a family causing an issue, somebody causing heartache, harm, danger in a family. Sometimes it can get to the point where that person needs to be thrown out of the boat for the storm to eventually calm down. A lot of times I think, you know, we're Christians, we need to help people, have compassion, do all we can for people, and yeah, that's true, but sometimes we do need to make a separation, that people need to get off the boat for them to understand the situation that they are causing, and for that storm to calm down as well. And that was quite a kind of practical thing that really just jumped into my head when I was looking through this, and I thought that's quite a good way to do it. Because a lot of times we get stuck in circumstances, don't we? We don't want to be the ones that are looked to being, you know, you've stopped helping them because you've put them out the house. You've stopped helping them because you're not doing X, Y, and Z. But sometimes they need to get off the boat to realise that they're causing harm. And that's what we see here. Once Jonah is in the drink, once he's in the sea, what happens? The sea stops its raging. Immediately. That's how I imagine it. It just went. Because it was a supernatural storm and God went, neat, calm. And you can imagine the sailors going, oh, what's happened there? What God did he create? The God of heaven and earth that made the seas and the land and all these things. And it says that the sailors sacrificed to God and made promises to serve God. What happened in this account here? What experience did the sailors have? They had an experience of the one true God. Even though Jonah was a bit of a pain in the backside, was a bit disobedient, even through Jonah being like that, God's work was seen here, that the sailors saw and had an experience of the one true God. They went from fearing the storm to fearing the God that created the storm. So Jonah, he doesn't get his wee cues to Tarshish, but who ends up going instead? This boat of sailors. This boat of sailors are going to go to the place that Jonah was expecting to go. We often say that God works in mysterious ways. What more mysterious than this? We can really look at these sailors, had an experience of God, and they gave sacrifice to God. They came into a personal relationship with God. We can look at it from the point of view that the sailors get saved through this experience that they went through. So that was good. Even though Jonah's call is to go to where? Nineveh. The sailors are going to Tarshish. Jonah's not allowed to go to Tarshish, okay, because he's got to go to Nineveh. So instead, God's got to send to the sailors, who now know the one true God, have gave sacrifice to the one true God. So when Jonah goes to Nineveh to preach the gospel, the sailors are going to go to Tarshish. The kingdom's going to get expanded two times. God works in mysterious but very, very powerful ways. Difficult times here, but a kind of double blessing comes out of it. So Jonah, the storm does two things. A storm gets the attention of people who are in rebellion to God, believers in rebellion to God, but also gets the attention of disobedient people who have never experienced God before, that they can see God's hand on the situation. So hard times we look at, rather than a hard time, it's painful, it's difficult, but God does his work through these hard times, and God brings his purposes about through them as well. So Jonah's hard-heartedness, he was looking at the Ninevites, they're evil, they're brutal, I don't want to go there, don't like them. God has always got compassion. No matter how evil a person is, God has got compassion. No matter how dark their life is, God's got compassion. Can God turn a life around 180 degrees? Of course they can. Jonah had to learn that lesson. He was hard-hearted, he was stubborn. He wasn't wanting salvation to come to these heathen Gentiles. He was a Jew, you know. My nation is the only one that counts. We sometimes see that kind of situation today as well. It's all about this group. It's all about this group. No. We need to look right out across, even to the most evil people. Look at the ISIS of today and all that kind of situation. Those are the people that Jonah had to speak against. In fact, they're direct descendants of the people that Jonah had to speak against. We think about Jonah. Why did he not want to go there? Right. I'll pick one of you to go over and speak to the ISIS people. Would you go straight away? I don't think so. Neither would I. And again, we put ourselves in the same feet as Jonah here. But we need to expand our hearts, just as Jonah did as well. Jonah, we're going to get up to verse 17, which I'm not going to cover today. But God brings about a very miraculous situation to change Jonah's heart. Jonah's heart still wasn't 100% changed here. He was still kind of in rebellion to God, didn't want to do what God was asking him to do. We could say he was kind of backsliding to a degree. You can't backslide too far that God can't pull you back forward again. It might bring about a difficult circumstance. He might bring a big fish into your life to swallow you up. But there's an end outcome. And we'll see in Jonah's life what that end outcome is. We'd have fully expected big, massive, tempestuous storms breaking up this ship. The sailors are panicking, they don't know what's happened. They've experienced everything before, but they know this is something different. And they chuck Jonah into the water. What would you expect to have happened to Jonah? He would have drowned, brown, red, dead. And what we see here is no. Jonah, in a sense, cast himself into the mercy of God. When you put yourself into the mercy of God, the storm calmed. And as we go on to verse 17, get into chapter 2 next time, what we see is, we'll look at the sign of Jonah. So as the Son of Man was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth, it aligns itself to being a sign of Jonah. And what we'll look at is, we'll look at that aspect next time around. So what I want to end up on today is, Jonah is stubborn. So are we. Jonah sometimes hides his faith away. Sometimes I do as well, sometimes we do. Sometimes we are not keen to get up and to declare a faith in some groups of people. Jonah was the same. He hid it all from the sailors. We see a bizarre situation that come about in verse 17 into chapter 2. A situation that swallow up Jonah. Have you ever been in a situation that swallowed you up? You feel there's no way out. It's dark, it's miserable, it's stinking. Look at the account of Jonah. Jonah got out of that situation because God's hand was on him at all times. That's what we need to focus on as well. Situations which are hard, they're painful. Yep, tell God they're painful. Tell God you're not enjoying it. Tell God you're not happy. But God will tell you, my hand's on you and I will get you through. God takes us into troubled waters. It's not to drown us, but sometimes it's to cleanse us. We need that cleansing in our lives. The water is going to do that. The difficult times, the waves that bar us are there for a purpose. And would we have it any other way? Would we rather be like Jonah and be left to hide from God? Are we glad of the situations that he brings us out and to kind of face our fears, face our troubles, face our rebellion? If God let him just rebel, then I wonder what the end of the story would be like. Would the Ninevites have repented? No, because Jonah didn't go and tell them. God works everything to the good. And we'll just close in a word of prayer just now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your work in the book of Jonah here, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that we can look at this circumstance in Jonah's life, Lord, and understand that no matter the circumstances, no matter the storms that are going on in our lives, Father God, that you're always with us. Your hand is always upon us, Lord, and there's no depth that we can go to, Lord, which you cannot pull us back up from, Father God. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, Lord, when we are stubborn, when we run away from the call that you have put in our lives, Father. We ask for your forgiveness, Father God, when we look to other people and we judge them, Father, and we deem them unworthy of salvation, Father God. Help us, Lord, to have the heart that you have, Father God, the eyes that see people in mercy, through mercy and compassion, Father God. Help us, Lord, to have the right words to say to people, Lord, and the right things to share with people, Lord, when they're going through their own personal storms as well, Father. Help us, Lord, to be the people of compassion, the people of encouragement, Lord, the people that can share experiences with one another, Lord, and help them through the difficult times that they might have. And more than that, Lord, we thank you for your unfailing love towards us, Lord. The love that knows no depths and knows no heights or widths, Father God, that we cannot fathom the depths of the love that you have for each and every one of us, Father. And for every person on this earth as well, Lord, no matter what they're doing, no matter what faith they profess, Father God. But help us, Lord, to point them to the one true God, to your Son, Jesus Christ, and that great salvation that's available to each and every person, Father. Lord, we love you. We just ask you to plant your truth.